In the year 2016, President Xi paid an important visit to Tehran, and back then we decided to enhance our relations to comprehensive strategic partnership. And during President Xi's visit to Tehran, the two states also issued a joint statement. In this statement, there is a specific item which says China and Iran are ready to discuss long-term cooperation plans. So after that, Iran actually gave us a draft of this long-term cooperation. And after discussions of many years, last year, Foreign Minister Wang Yi visited Tehran as well. And during that visit, China and Iran decided to sign this collaboration plan, which includes collaboration in various areas. In all areas, including politics, economy, culture, and security. In January and March, Foreign Minister Amir Abdullahian paid a visit to China, and we jointly announced the implementation of this plan. We should discuss in the short term what should we do and what can be done about China-Iran collaboration. I think this kind of collaboration can be beneficial both to China and to Iran. You just mentioned some announcements about this cooperation plan, about China buying oil from Iran at a low price, and then China dumping a cheap goose into Iranian market. I saw all such statements in the media, but I should say that this collaboration must be beneficial for both countries. China for many years has kept his position as the biggest partner of Iran. How could this happen? In all these years, America's strong sanctions are still there, but we are not afraid of U.S. sanctions. The U.S. government tried to reduce Iran's oil export to zero, but we are strongly against this policy. I could say that not only China is buying oil from Iran, other countries are afraid of buying oil from Iran. We tried a lot to preserve our relations with Iran. This cooperation is beneficial to both of us. Of course, Chinese companies and people are benefiting too. We need to work together to make this cake bigger and bigger. But the 25-year cooperation plan, it is not against any of the signatories. Iran is also discussing long-term cooperation with Russia and Venezuela. We're independent countries. I would like to add a few points about the Belt and Road Initiative and the Iranian nuclear issue. About the Belt and Road Initiative, I should say that Iran is an important part of this initiative. This initiative is put forward by President Xi Jinping. Iran was an important hub in the ancient Silk Road. I traveled to the city of Tabriz. I saw a lot of relics there from the ancient Silk Road. So I believe that Iran can play a key role in this initiative. About the Iranian nuclear issue, I should say that in the last several months, this issue has come to an impasse. Today, I noticed that Deputy Foreign Minister Bagheri traveled to Doha to restart negotiations. China has been a constructive part during these negotiations. We do not agree about some parties' attempts to make this issue more complicated. Perhaps you have noticed that some countries promoted Iran-related resolution to the IAEA, but of course, we voted against it. We are against politicizing this issue. The Iranian nuclear issue has come to an important junction. Parties of the nuclear deal should solve the problems through negotiations, and we should try to promote this negotiation and try to get past the results of this resolution. Because for the current Iranian nuclear issue, I think it is clear what is wrong and what is right. The U.S. unilateral acts against Iran and its added sanctions are the root cause of this current impasse in the negotiations. So we urge the U.S. to correct its mistakes and answer Iran's reasonable request and to take the first step and come back to the deal.
Mr. Ambassador, we've unfortunately come to the end of our time. Thank you once again for hosting us. If there's anything you want to still mention that was not mentioned, please, you have a few minutes, and then we can end our conversation.
Well, I am very happy to have this very important interview with you. I wish we could prolong it. There are still many issues that we haven't talked on yet. I wish in the future we will have more opportunities like this. China and Iran are true and good friends, especially after the COVID-19 pandemic. We can help each other. We never forget that Iran was the first country which expressed its support to China when the pandemic started in China. And after the pandemic started in Iran, China supplied the most number of vaccines to Iran. So please convey my message to the Iranian public that I truly hope that Iran and China relations can continue under the guidance of Iran's leadership and the support of our people.
Thank you, Mr. Ambassador.
Thank you.
So what insight can we gain from our conversation with Ambassador Chang? China's initial focus on development in its global relations has been enhanced by the addition of security as a pillar in these global relations in recent years. This is after everyone in the world experienced nearly 30 years of global war, mass killings, and economic sanctions and extortion by the exceptional nation and so-called chosen people of the United States of America, under the heading of the War on Terror. China, Iran, Russia, and others are embarking on a new security architecture for the world, replacing the Western-dominated global security structure rooted in racist Western colonialism and imperialism. New structures rooted in the BRICS Plus, the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, and the Non-Aligned Movement frameworks. Certain elites in Iran and China attempted rapprochement with the U.S. and the West in the 1990s and the early 20th century, only to eventually realize that the West, and particularly the U.S., cannot shed its racist and imperialist nature and establish relations based on mutual benefit and respect. We are witnessing the beginning of a new global architecture based in Asia as the new and old center of human production and innovation. In addition to the incredibly abundant human and natural resources this continent has always had. Thank you for joining us on this episode. Until the next time on Insight.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, I'm Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi and we're going to be with you with another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. And in this edition of the program, we'll try to discuss the commentary of chapter Shu'ara, the 26th chapter of the Holy Quran. We'll be back after you listen to the verses we're going to discuss in this episode.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Qala alam nurabbika fina walidan walabithta fina min umrika sinin.
Pharaoh said,
Did we not raise you among us as a child, and you remained among us for years of your life?
وفعلت فعلتك التي فعلت وأنت من الكافرين.
And then you did your deed which you did, and you were of the ungrateful.
قال فعلتها إذا وأنا من الضالين.
Moses said, I did it then, while I was of those astray.
فَفَرَرْتُ مِنْكُمْ لَمَّا خِفْتُكُمْ فَوَهَبَ لِي رَبِّي حُكْمًا وَجَعَلَنِي مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ.
So I fled from you when I feared you. Then my Lord granted me wisdom and prophethood and appointed me as one of the messengers.
As you were with us, dear listeners, previously, we were discussing some of the beginning verses of chapter Shu'ara. In these verses, the Almighty Allah orders Moses to go to Pharaoh and invite him to believe in Allah and invite him to monotheism, which is one of the first programs of every prophet. فَأْتِيَا فِرْعَوْنَ فَقُولَا إِنَّا رَسُولُ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ أَنْ أَرْسِلْ مَعَنَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ. So Moses goes to Pharaoh and invites him, but here is the answer of Pharaoh. قَالَ أَلَمْ نُرَبِّكَ فِينَا وَلِيدًا وَلَبِثْتَ فِينَا مِنْ عُمُرِكَ سِنِينَ. Did we not cherish you as a child among us? You tarried among us for many years of your life. And one more thing. وَفَعَلْتَ فَعْلَتَكَ الَّتِي فَعَلْتَ وَأَنْتَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. And you did what you did, and it was wrong, and you are one of the ungrateful. So he wanted to condemn Moses with this argumentation, as he supposed. But here is the answer of Moses. قَالَ فَعَلْتُهَا إِذًا وَأَنَا مِنَ الضَّالِّينَ. The 20th verse of chapter Shu'ara. Said Moses, I did it then when I was, as you think, in error. Of course, this is one possible explanation and translation of this word, وَأَنَا مِنَ الضَّالِّينَ, and I was in error. In some commentary books, we read different commentaries about this Quranic phrase, مِنَ الضَّالِّينَ. Some claim and believe that Moses, عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا وَآلِهِ وَعَلَيْهِمَ السَّلَامِ, implied that he did not intend to kill and he did not know that it would lead to death. So Moses was unaware of the death of that person. Some say that Moses implied that he had forgotten it. And some believe that murder was done by error. So Moses was not intentionally killing the man. And some say that he had not been appointed to messengership when he did such and when he killed that person. But these all seem to be wrong, because we know that one of the conditions of prophets and messengers and saints is infallibility. So they should not have done any kind of error prior to their prophethood and messengership. They are far from sins, errors, mistakes, ignorance, and forgetfulness. And one important thing, before this event, Allah says, and when he reached his maturity and was full grown, we gave him wisdom and knowledge. So, attributing ignorance and forgetfulness and sometimes mistakes and errors to prophets, such as Moses in this case, is absolutely wrong. على مر الزمان تألقا وأضاء للدنيا طريقا.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
In this
word.
Series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic
approach. We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly, the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom.
So here is the answer of Prophet Moses to Pharaoh claiming that he killed that person. قَالَ فَعَلْتُهَا إِذَنْ وَأَنَا مِنَ الضَّالِّينَ I did it then when I was, as you think, in error. As you can see, confession sometimes is a value. After hearing the diabolic words of Pharaoh, Moses answered these faults that were mentioned, but he counted the second fault more important when he answered it prior to the first one. Or basically, the first fault was not worth answering, so he does not even mention it. Anyway, Moses answers, and he confesses to that kind of sin, as Pharaoh thought. And moreover, Moses knew that he would become prophet, because it was revealed to his mother, "Verily we shall bring him back unto you, and shall make him one of the messengers," the Holy Quran says. So, it does not seem right to attribute mistake and error to prophets, and in this case, Prophet Moses. Now, what seems to be the purpose and meaning of the word Allah-Lin in this case is that because the Coptic man wanted to kill another person and that person asked Moses to help him, and also removing oppression of oppressor is necessary according to intellect and reason, Moses did that and killed the man. There are some other possible explanations regarding this word and also what happened in that session they had with Pharaoh that we'll, God willing, discuss the next episode. Thank you for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care.
Things always work for me, worry, and that's when faith begins.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Thank you. log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Now let's listen to the speech of Sheikh Jafar Jafar.
I begin in the name of Allah, the most kind, the most merciful. It's due to that kindness and mercy that we have these opportunities where we gather in remembrance and glorification of Him, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We then send our condolences to our 12th and living Imam, Al-Hujja, Ajalallahu Ta'ala, Farajahu Sharif, and to each and every one of you as we gather on this evening and on these nights to commemorate the tragedy that befell upon the family of Rasulullah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wa Alihi Wasallam. And when you look at Imam Al-Hussein in Karbala, that when Hur did what Hur did, and when Hur came, the compassion of the Imam was overflowing at that time. May we receive that kind of compassion from the Imam of our time, huh? Because Hur is that example. Yeah? I think Hur has that relatability to each and every one of us because none of us are perfect. Yeah? None of us are perfect. But Hur had something in his heart. You know what Hur had in his heart? Hur had the love of Fatima al-Zahra in his heart. Hur understood the position of Fatima al-Zahra. You know, it is said that Hur was the commander of an army or a battalion of 1,000 men. And the job of this man was simple. The job of Hur was simple, to intercept the Imam and to bring him back towards Kufa. It is said that when Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam was leaving Makkah, he stopped at numerous places until he got to a place called Sharaf. When he got to Sharaf, the Imam did something which was unique. He told every single youth and every single companion to fill their watering skin. You don't need to travel with that much water when you know you will soon have water again. But the Imam knew something was coming. The Imam alayhi salam, then as they left Sharaf, they reached a place called Dhu Husam. And before they reached Dhu Husam, they saw a battalion of 1,000 men approaching them. Imam camped in Dhu Husam, and when Hur and his battalion and his army came to Dhu Husam, the Imam alayhi salam saw thirst in the faces of Hur and his companions. He saw that not only were they thirsty, even their animals were thirsty. The Imam gave instruction to all of his companions and family that give them this water that we have. We say, Salam to you, O Hussein. Salam to you. There will come a time very soon when Hussein, your children will cry, Al-Atash. Al-Atash, but they will not give you any water. Have they forgotten 2 weeks prior, Hussein, that you gave them water? There's a companion of Hur who says that I was the last one to come. And when I came, I said, I was so thirsty that Hussein bin Ali came himself to quench my thirst. He says, Hussein told me, get off of your camel, sit your camel down. And Hussein used his own hands to quench my thirst. Imam alayhi salam in Dhu Husam prayed Dhuhr. He gathered his companions for Dhuhr Salah. At the time of Dhuhr, he looks towards Hur and he says to Hur, O Hur, aturidu an tusalli bi ashabika? He says, Hur, do you want to pray with yourselves and we will pray with ourselves? Hur says, La bal tusalli anta wa tusalli bi salatik. He says, no, we will pray behind you, O Hussein. Hur knew. We get examples of this. Hur knew who Hussein was. They prayed their Dhuhr Salah. Imam went back to his camp. It came back at the time of Asr Salah. They prayed together again. At this time, Imam alayhi salam took out bags of letters from Kufa. He says that you were the ones who invited me. If you do not want me, tell me, I will go back. Hur says, we will not allow you to go back. The Imam alayhi salam gets up. He gets back and tells his caravan that we are leaving. As the caravan begins to leave, Hur comes and blocks the way of the Imam. According to some narrations, Hur not only blocks the way of the Imam, he grabs the reins of the horses of the Imam. This is an act of aggression, huh? He grabs the horses of the Imam. The Imam alayhi salam says, Thakalatka ummuk ma turid. He says, your mother will weep for you, O Hur. What do you want? You know the jawab of Hur was what? Hur was a bahadur, huh? Hur was a brave man. Hur says, O Hussein, if any man in Arabia had said anything about my mother, I would say the same back to them. But what can I say about your mother? But what can I say about your mother, Fatima? He says, I hold her in the highest of regards, O Hussein. And then again we get a glimpse into the heart of Hur. Hur says to Hussein alayhi salam that I have not been instructed to fight you. He says, write a letter to Yazid. Write a letter to Ubaydullah if you want. He says, find a situation, but get me out of this situation, Hussein. This was the position of Hur. We come to the day of Ashura. When the fighting begins, you know, Hur never assumed that it would get to this stage. He always thought that some agreement would be reached. But when the drum beats on the day of Ashura began to ring and the arrows began to fly, Hur comes to Umar ibn Sa'ad and says, Aslahakallah. He says, may God have mercy on you. Anta muqatil hadha rajul. Do you really intend on fighting Hussein? Umar ibn Sa'ad replies, Wallah, he says, hey, by God, I do. I will behead Hussein at this time. The conscience of Hur began to take over. The narrations say that Hur slowly gets onto his horse. He begins to slowly ride his horse towards the camp of Imam al-Hussein. A companion of Hur by the name of Muhajir. He says, O Hur, where are you going? O Hur, are you attacking Hussein? But Hur did not reply. Instead, Hur was trembling his entire body. Muhajir Hajir says, "O whore, if they had asked me who the bravest warrior in Kufa was, I would give them your name. But today I see you in a condition that I have not seen you before." Do you know the jawab of whore? My brothers and sisters, we cry for whore. We want to be like whore. But look at what whore says. Whore says, "Inni wallah akhiru nafsi bayna al-jannati wan-nar. Wallah la akhtaru ala jannati shay'a." He says, "I find myself between heaven and hell. I find myself between heaven and hell, and by God, I will not select hell for anyone." Hur rides towards the Imam. The narrations say that when Hur rides, he places his hands clasped over his head, a sign that he was coming in surrender. And as he was riding his horse, he kept reciting, "Atubu ilallah, oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, it is I who have put your awliya in this situation. It is I who have put the son of the daughter of Rasulullah in this situation." Again, Hur remembers Fatima and the position he places his family in. When Hur finally comes to Imam al-Husayn, what does he say? He says, May God allow me to be sacrificed for you, Yabna Rasulillah. He says, "I am the one who prevented you from leaving." He says, "I am the one who troubled you on your way. I am the one who forced you to stop. It is I who have put you in this situation, O Hussein. It is my fault. Do you think that Allah will forgive me? Do you think that Allah will allow me to overlook this transgression of mine?" Wa inni qad ji'tuka ta'iban mimma kana minni ila rabbi. I have come to ask for your forgiveness, O Hussein. Wa Husayna, you know, whatever mistake Hur had made, whatever decisions Hur had made, he has now come to the khaymah of the one who is the most generous, the son of the most generous, the grandson of the most generous. Hussein welcomes Hur. Ahlan wa sahlan ya Hur. Come, O Hur. We have been waiting for you, O Hur. And then Hur immediately asks, "Oh Hussein, I am ready to go and fight. I am ready to go and sacrifice." He just said, "Goes and fights." He fights bravely. Hur was a warrior. But how much can one man fight? Eventually, Hur falls. It is some riwayat say he was hit on his skull and it began to bleed. He fell from his horse. The companions bring him back towards Imam al-Husayn. Imam al-Husayn looks at Hur and he says, "Antal Hur, kama sammatka ummuk, hurrun fid dunya wal akhirah." He says, "Indeed, Hur, you are just like how your mother has named you. You are free in this world and in akhirah."
I swear to Allah, whenever I face troubles in my life, I close my eyes and see your shrine and call the back every time. Oh Hussein, you're the love of my heart. You are the light of my eyes. I swear to Allah, until my last breath, I will remember Hussein.
In the limelight.
In Britain, the Foreign Secretary Liz Truss has won the backing of former Tory leadership rival Tom Togganhat. The article you're about to hear has been written by The Guardian columnist Aubrey Allegretti. The piece is titled, Tom Toggenhat backs Liz Truss in race for number 10. Please stay with us for more of Aubrey Allegretti's article. Britain, the Foreign Secretary Liz Truss has won the backing of former Tory leadership rival Tom Toggenhat. In a major boost for the Foreign Secretary's campaign, Tom Toggenhat wrote in the Times that her plans for vast tax cuts are founded on true conservative principles. The chairman of the Foreign Affairs Select Committee also criticised Rishi Sunak's fiscal policy, saying it is not right that the tax burden should be rising when people are heading into winter with dread. His endorsement is important as he is popular among Conservative Party members and a senior figure in the One Nation group of centrist Tory MPs. It is another blow to Rishi Sunak after the Defence Secretary, Ben Wallace, also came out in support of Liz Truss. Earlier, Rishi Sunak admitted a video of him as a youngster saying he had no working-class friends was silly, as he defended holding off on tax cuts and claimed Liz Truss's plans would fuel an inflation sugar rush. The Tory leadership contender, who is trailing in the race to replace Boris Johnson, also insisted during an interview with Andrew Neil that he would ensure some asylum seekers were removed to Rwanda, even if it was only several hundred, as thousands more would be deterred. Rishi Sunak faced a tough grilling from the Channel 4 presenter Andrew Neil in the interview on Friday night that was dodged by his rival Liz Truss. Asked by Andrew Neil if there was not something unsavoury about the son of successful middle-class migrants prepared to turn away asylum seekers with a valid claim, he replied defiantly, "No." Though Rishi Sunak admitted only several hundred migrants may be removed under the plan that will cost millions of pounds, he said many thousands would be deterred from trying to cross the channel to claim asylum in the United Kingdom. Among the questions put to him was whether he was embarrassed by a clip aired on the BBC when Rishi Sunak was in his early 20s. It showed the now Tory leadership contender being interviewed as part of a programme on class. "I have friends who are aristocrats. I have friends who are upper class. I have friends who are working class. Well, not working class," said Sunak in the 2001 video clip. Video footage was lashed upon in the race to replace Boris Johnson when it resurfaced several weeks ago, with rivals scornful and suggesting it showed the wealthy Tory MP would not be able to relate to those struggling during the cost of living crisis. Rishi Sunak addressed the video when pressed about whether he was out of touch by Andrew Neil. Sunak said, "We all say silly things when we're students," he admitted. "I grew up working in my mum's pharmacy, and you don't end up doing that unless you interact with lots of people. I spent my time making sure we served our community. My parents worked incredibly hard to provide opportunities for me, and that's ultimately why I want to be Prime Minister, because this country allowed my family to provide a better opportunity and future for me." Rishi Sunak, who several opinion polls of Tory members have found is trailing behind Liz Truss in the leadership contest, was also tackled over his refusal to cut taxes and an alleged U-turn over cutting VAT on energy bills. Sunak had argued against the tax cut in question in February when he was Chancellor, telling the House of Commons the policy would disproportionately benefit wealthier households. On Friday, 29th of July, he admitted it was a blunt instrument, but said it was one of few levers that politicians could pull quickly. He said the apparent vault face was absolutely not a case of poor judgment initially, and claimed Liz Truss's tax cuts, £30 billion to be funded by borrowing, would put fuel on the fire of already spiralling inflation. Rishi Sunak said the move would be a sugar rush that would also push up interest rates and make worse the economic difficulties that many will face this winter. Despite being invited for a similar grilling by Andrew Neil, Liz Truss followed the lead of Boris Johnson at the last general election and refused to appear in the interview with Andrew Neil. At the end of Friday's programme, Andrew Neil said she declined our invitation. Her choice, of course, that invitation still remains open.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio. And you are listening to the program For Humanity. We are looking at the Battle of Karbala, the tragic Battle of Karbala, and how we can relate it to human rights. In fact, the entire battle, the entire story of Karbala was nothing but human rights and about human rights. It wasn't personal. It wasn't just an endeavor of Imam Hussein to seek power or riches. It's not about, you know, trying to be popular or trying to seek, you know, position in this worldly world. No, it was solely and purely done for the sake of mankind, for me and you. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he lived by the code of the Quran. The book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran, is a constitution, is laws that upholding them, or to begin with, learning them, will guarantees and say and ensures my safety in this world and in the hereafter, if I and you live by the Quran. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He makes a statement in the Quran itself that those who uphold the Quran will have a happy life, unlike those who don't. Now, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he lived by the Quran and the codes of the Quran to the extent that when he was beheaded and his head was on a spear, he continued to recite the words of the Quran. Obviously, it's a miraculous in its nature that a beheaded person, his head still reads the Quran even though it's on a spear. The message Imam Hussein is trying to tell me and you that no matter where you are, no matter what situation you're in, the Quran has to be the way of life for you. It has to be the laws, the constitution that runs your life. Because if I and you go by the codes of the Quran, then surely we can do no wrong, right? Because if I uphold the teachings of the Quran, then what could wrong can I do? Allah says to me, do not kill. Allah says to me, do not transgress. Allah says to me, even do not curse. Do not point fingers. Don't call people by their nicknames. Do not call people by names. Do not commit adultery. Do not drink. Do not do. Do not, do not. There are so many things the Quran tells me not to do in terms of dealing with my fellow human beings. And that basically means that I am preserving the human right aspect in this regard. So we see that in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he talks about the rights of people and he tells me not to do them. Sometimes he wants me to perform certain actions for my fellow human beings. For example, help one another, give charity, give to the poor, take care of the orphans, do a lot of good work. Obviously, that's as an act of called kindness, or at least preserving human rights for those who do not have such rights. And you see that sometimes the Quran talks about me and my dealings with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He Himself. So this relationship between me and people and the relationship between me and Allah needs to be preserved always. So when I and you constantly recite the Quran and keep the Quran as a part of our life, an active part of our lives, not just for the blessings. We don't recite ayat just so we can keep ourselves safe or put it in our cars or our homes to seek blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, it needs to be done in a way where I use it to preserve the right of other people. Let us take a short break and then we will continue right after.
Dear listeners, you're listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. We are looking at the Battle of Karbala and how it is related to human rights. Now, in the Battle of Karbala, if we can divide it into two parts or two roles, there's the role of the men and there's the role of the women. The men played their role in trying to fight and defend Islam, and they gave their lives as a sacrifice. Women also done their role and defended Islam in their own way. So we cannot say that Islam is a male-dominant religion and it just wants the male to act and do things and women have to sit and stay idle. In fact, it's a shared responsibility between men and women. That we see right after the Battle of Karbala, when Imam Hussein alayhi salam was beheaded, the entire role of saving religion and saving Islam and maintaining the message of Imam Hussein was carried out by Sayyidah Zainab alayhi salam, the sister of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. She took charge from all the way from gathering the children, making sure everyone is safe, making sure everyone is staying together in one group, moving towards Kufa, delivering her eloquent sermon in Kufa, going all the way to Sham, facing the tyrannic Yazid himself and delivering a sermon and taking the kids back to Medina. A journey took a few months and all of that was done by Sayyidah Zainab alayhi salam. She took her role in trying to protect the message of Imam Hussein, which is basically human rights, right? So all the sisters that listening and all our wives and our daughters, they have this role to play. they can't say, well, it's not my role. This is a world dominant, a male dominant world, and I'm just going to sit and let people do. No, no, everyone has a role to play. Now, when you look at our world, we see so much corruption is happening, so much oppression is happening, the rights of people being taken away in different forms. Sometimes it's ideological, and sometimes it's physical. In either case, whether we're males or females, we need to play our roles in trying to make sure that the human rights are preserved. Just in the same way that Imam Hussein alayhi salam did, and his sister Zainab did, and the other woman in the camp of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So when it comes to human rights, it's a role for both males and females to play. Because at the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, He created mankind to be His vicegerents, to be His deputies on earth, to be His representatives on earth. And He did not specify males, even though males play a dominant role, but both of them play a role in trying to save and protect this message of Islam, which is entirely about trying to preserve human rights. Inshallah, we will continue this discussion in other episodes. Until then, stay with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
اللهم صل على محمد وآله اللهم صل على محمد وآله
You have just listened to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,865 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
ارزش‌ها و صفاتی که انسان احترام می‌گذاره همه این ارزش‌ها در علی ابن ابی طالب جمعه.
Human in general, whether a Muslim, non-Muslim, or even a disbeliever, respect the values present in the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib.
لا يقيم امر الله سبحانه الا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
Universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in To My Brother. Imam Ali alayhi salam, the most distinguished and extraordinary personality in Islam after the Holy Prophet Muhammad. His entire life is a struggle for the advancement of Islam, the universal religion prescribed by Allah for all of humanity. Imam Ali alayhi salam was the living miracle raised up by the Holy Prophet Muhammad himself, and was not only the successor and the executor of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, but as history testifies, he was also a great human being. A brave defender of Islam, a just and fair judge, a generous philanthropist, a champion of the people, and the most pious person of his time. And in today's world, overcome by evil and darkness, and oppression and slavery, and tyranny and falsehood, a quick look into this beacon of truth and justice, a look into the universal persona of Imam Ali, is greatly useful for making and changing our lives, our families, our societies, and our world into the beautiful world that Allah has planned for humanity.
قال أمير المؤمنين علي عليه السلام: الصدقة دواء منجح، وأعمال العباد في عاجلهم، نصب أعينهم في آجالهم.
Imam Ali, peace be upon him, said, "Charity is an effective cure, and the actions of people in their present life will be before their eyes in the next life."
Welcome back, dear friends. It's great to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio. The program is To My Brother, and we are discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. The universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam is truly something that is magnificent. We find that the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam has been being spoken about for hundreds and perhaps thousands of years. And despite being spoken about by individuals, we find that there is not a lack of words and there is not a vacancy for things to still be spoken about. This is truly something which is amazing. And as far as historical figures, this is something that is very rarely